This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ isn't the only current phenomenon in popular culture inspired by the Bible. The Left Behind series of novels, inspired by the Book of Revelations, has sold about 58 million copies. The 12th and final novel in the series will be published at the end of the month. Bookstores have already bought the complete initial print run of 1.9 million copies. The Left Behind series is named after the title of the first book, which told the story of the rapture, where millions of born-again Christians are instantly raised into heaven. The non-believers are left behind on earth to face 7 years of tribulation, wars, plagues, and other catastrophes until the final battle between Jesus and the Antichrist. The authors are Jerry Jenkins and my guest Tim LaHaye. LaHaye is a longtime activist in the Christian right. He was a co-founder of the Moral Majority. In 1987, he briefly served as co-chair of Republican Jack Kemp's presidential campaign. LaHaye also co-founded the Council for National Policy. I spoke with LaHaye in 2002 after the publication of the 10th novel in the series and the publication of a self-help book about preparing for the end of times. I asked him what he thinks are the signs that the end of the world is near.
First of all, Israel being brought back into the land, all prophecy scholars teach that the phenomenon of our age is Israel coming back into the land when they didn't have a homeland for 1,700 years. No nation in the history of the world has ever been able to succeed having been disrupted from their homeland and maintain existence for over 300 or 500 years, except the Jews. And the interesting thing is God's word many times predicted that the Jews would be taken back into the land, and it always means the Holy Land. And so that's one, that's the super sign. Then another sign is people will run to and fro on the earth and knowledge be increased. And then after that, there are a number of others, the decadence of our society and the movement toward a one world government. We hear so much today from many kinds of people talking about the panacea to man's problems being a one-world government. And it's true, there have been an enormous number of wars in human history, particularly in the last century. And so man naturally thinks if he's going to solve these problems by himself without aid from God, then it makes sense to have a one-world government. What they forget is that then you have a man running the government, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it can be dangerous. But anyway, we're moving in that direction, just as the Bible said.
Tim LaHaye, I'm going to ask you to describe your understanding of the end of days. What happens at the end?
Well, the Bible is very clear. If you take it literally, it's very clear about the events in the last days. The next major event on the prophetic calendar is what we call the rapture of the church, when Christ shouts from heaven and all the dead in Christ for 2,000 years. There'll be billions of people who have called on the name of the Lord as their Lord and Savior. They'll be resurrected, and then we which are alive, all believers on the earth today, and only God knows how many, I hope it's maybe 1 or 2 billion people that have received Christ while they're alive, then they will be transformed, and we meet in the air. Then we meet the Lord, we meet in the clouds, and then we meet the Lord in the air, and then we'll ever be with the Lord. And so the believers have one scenario when they go up to heaven to be with him in fulfillment of Jesus' promise that I go to my Father's house and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have a certainty that we will go to the Father's house. But then, and this is what the Book of Revelation covers and what we cover mostly in our fiction series, Left Behind, is the events that will happen here on earth. And they're detailed in the Book of Revelation. And you'll find the time of wrath, the wrath of God on those who reject him and follow the forces of evil.
And what are some scenarios we might expect during that period of the wrath of God?
Well, the first thing that will happen will be the sealed judgments. There are 7 of those, and then after that there are trumpet judgments, and after that there are vials. So there are 21 judgments in all. And the sealed judgments start with the rider on the white horse. The Antichrist comes in, and with diplomacy and cunning and so on, he he gains control of the world. And then he, by offering peace, he says, we'll have world peace. And everybody today wants world peace. But the Bible says the next horseman, and this is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first four seals. And the second one is war and bloodshed. And then you have famine and so on. Well, during that last 7 years of tribulation, they have to make a decision. Are they going to become believers? Or are they going to become followers of Antichrist, who is really led by Satan himself?
So first comes the rapture, in which the believers rise to heaven. And then comes the seven-year period of the tribulation, which is filled with war and plague and famine and all that stuff. And the people experiencing that are the non-believers, the people who have been left behind on earth. And how does that end?
Well, that ends by Christ finishing his coming. See, the rapture, he comes in the air, but in the 7 years later, he comes to the earth, and he conquers the Antichrist armies as they're gathered in Armageddon, and then he sets up his kingdom, and then you have what everybody craves for, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and you have the government of Christ. It's a time of righteousness, a time of justice, at a time of blessing, and it lasts for 1,000 years.
So the creation of Israel is, in your mind, a sign that the end is near. Now, what happens to the Jewish people in your vision of the end of days?
Well, they're going to go back into the promised land, and they're going to rebuild their temple, and they're going to set up their temple worship. You know, it's been 2,000 years almost that they've had no worship ever since 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. They've had no sacrifice. And so they will return to that. But during that time, there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the moving of many people's hearts to come to God. And the people that reject God will be those who are just rebel. They just rebel against God. They're opposed to anything spiritual. And they deny the existence of God. And people with that attitude are quick to follow something that's spurious. And during the tribulation period, Antichrist will come along and fill that vacuum and lead the people to follow him. And he really is following Satan and doing Satan's work. It's a classic illustration of the last day's battle between good and evil. The last days, actually, I call it the long war between God and Satan for the souls of men. And so, it will reach its vortex during that period.
So let me see if I understand correctly. The reestablishment of Israel is important in your understanding,
yes,
of the end of days. But what about the Jewish people? Are they considered believers when the rapture comes, or non-believers?
That's an individual experience. Anyone can become a believer from any religion, any ethnic group, and the Jews are no exception. About a third of them, according to Zechariah, will become believers.
Believers in Christ is what you mean.
Exactly. A massive number of them will receive Christ as their Messiah.
So although the establishment of Israel is important in your vision of the Second Coming, Jews themselves will have to convert to Christianity in order to be saved, and those who don't will be condemned to suffer here on earth during the tribulations and then basically to go to hell if they haven't converted after that.
That's a good summary of what's going to happen. Just because you're a Jew does not mean that you don't have to make the same decision that everyone else does. The Bible refers to men all encompassing in the words, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so he doesn't discriminate between Jews or Gentiles. It's God's will that all men be saved and receive Jesus as their Messiah.
Now, what about Catholics? Do they have to... I mean, does everybody who is of the Christian faith get saved? Or, I mean, do they have to follow a certain type of Christian faith? Will Catholics be saved? Do they have to convert to a more born-again type of faith?
Well, we believe that when Jesus said twice in John 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, that's a mandatory requirement for salvation. You have to be born again. And it's not defined exactly how you do it. I think sometimes we're a little more specific because of our tradition I'm convinced that there are many people who have, from their ignorance, recognizing that Christ died for their sins and that he rose again, they've called out to God in the name of Christ for mercy. They don't know exactly how to pray, but you see, God looks on the heart. And that's the neat thing about it, is that a man looks on the outward appearance, the Bible says, but God looks on the heart. And so when he looks into the heart and sees that person call on the name of the Lord to be saved, then he's saved. It doesn't matter whether he's a Baptist or a Catholic or Presbyterian or whatever.
Your series of novels, Left Behind, that's based on biblical prophecy of the apocalypse, the second coming of Christ, the rapture, the end of days. This series of books has sold over 50 million copies. Would you like your readers who aren't born-again Christians to convert?
Well, I must say that that's the primary purpose of our writing, is to communicate the grace of God and the mercy of God to individuals in extending them salvation, and then show it in real-life characters, that people that are born again or people that call on the name of the Lord are just ordinary people, like an airlines pilot, the hero of our series, Rayford Steele. He, after the rapture, he prays to receive Christ, and then his daughter finally does, and then the journalists, so the people from all walks of life are doing what we call having a believable conversion. And we try to write it down to earth and reasonably believable. I think that the success we've had is attributed to Jerry's personal writing and the incredible story that God has outlined for the future.
In imagining what the second coming will be like, you have to imagine the final battle between Christ and the Antichrist. Is there anyone now on earth who you suspect of being the Antichrist?
No, I don't. I can't imagine who it would be, and I'll be honest with you, I have looked. And there, among Bible scholars, though there's very little disagreement about the fact that Christ is going to come to the earth, there are many people that have tried to pinpoint. I have not been that speculative. I think that brings the whole cause of prophecy into disrepute when someone turns out not to be the Antichrist. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's in the world today.
One of the chief villains in your Left Behind series is Nicolae Jetty Carpathia, who's the former president of Romania, former secretary general of the United Nations, and now the head of the global community. What does his casting as the villain indicate about your views of the United Nations?
Well, the United Nations is just a easy fall guy for the fact that the Bible has taught for many years that there would be a one-world government set up. And it's not just the United Nations, but the thinking of mankind ever since World War I, when you have the devastation of all but seven countries of the world involved in the conflagration, and millions of people dying, both because of the war and then as an aftermath. They were back then trying to get a one-world government established to solve the problems of man. And it wasn't until 1945 that the United Nations was set up, and here we are 50 years later, and it's the closest thing that exists to world government. And so it just happens to be the fall guy of what we have predicted in this, what we think the Bible predicts, there will be a one-world government. It may not be the United Nations.
We are living in an age of nuclear weapons. How does this come into play in your vision of the end of days? Is this a sign, do you think, that we're getting close?
Well, yes, it certainly is an indication that we're living in perilous, insecure times. And it is interesting that it focuses on the Middle East. See, the Bible makes it clear that Jerusalem and Israel and the Middle East will be the focal point of the world's interest factor. And in my lifetime, that's at least my professional lifetime, that's been the main focus, because the Bible predicted that the end times would focus on the Middle East. And the thing that's drawing them, of course, is oil. What we're seeing here is not so subtle attempt to control the world's oil, because who controls the oil controls the world.
You know, you were talking about how important the Middle East is in preparing for the end of days. And I'm wondering, is that, for instance, why Pat Robertson on the newscast on his show has always devoted so much time to coverage of the Middle East?
Could very well be. The interesting thing is that the Bible says that in the last days, Israel would be a troublesome stone. And that's exactly what they are. They're a trouble to the whole world. I'm not saying they shouldn't do what they're doing, but it's causing great trouble in the whole world.
Tim LaHaye, your best-selling series of Left Behind novels about the rapture and the Antichrist, the Second Coming, the Apocalypse, these have really struck a chord. I mean, 50 million copies sold. In these books, a lot of people convert and become born-again Christians and go to heaven. Are you confident that you're going to heaven?
Oh, yes. I have every confidence because the Bible says if we would call on the name of the Lord, we would be saved. And I've called on the name of the Lord. I had a very distinct experience when I was very young, and I've never had any question, not based on any goodness in me. I know I have not lived a perfect life, and I'm not perfect now. But I am a forgiven believer, just like anyone who believes that Jesus died for their sins and rose again can have forgiveness. So I have no question about being saved. And I don't mind telling you, I think that there are probably a billion or more of us in this world that when Jesus shouts from heaven, we're all going.
The rapture takes place during your series of novels. And that's when people who are believers get just instantaneously lifted into heaven. And in your novel, suddenly their kind of personal effects are left behind, but the people have disappeared, you know, leaving behind like earrings or clothing or, you know, just other personal effects. Would you like to be alive during the rapture? Do you think that it makes a difference to your soul whether you die before the rapture or whether you're here for the actual rapture itself?
No, it doesn't make any difference to your soul, but I'll be honest with you. My wife and I have kiddingly said, you know, we've been married for 55 years, we would love to be a part of the rapture instead of either one of us having to face death of the person we love, to go together in the rapture. And the neat thing about it is that every one of our listeners today, if they would recognize that they need to receive Jesus, they could have that same hope. The Bible makes this a blessed hope, and it's a comfort to us to know that in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, Jesus could shout and we could be translated into heaven forever and ever and ever and ever.
You believe that the only true faith is born-again Christianity, and that
yes,
only and that only born-again Christians will be redeemed and go to heaven. During this time on earth, what is your feelings toward people of other faiths or your feelings about people who are Christian but not born-again Christians? Do you have respect for their faith? Do you respect them as Catholics or Jews or Muslims?
Well, I respect them for what they believe. In fact, I try to be respectful toward all people and yet disagree with what they believe. That should be my right in a free society. But it's my responsibility before God to confront other people with the truth as it is in Christ. You know, a lot of people say that you should know the truth and the truth will make you free, but what they take it out of context. The truth there is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He is the way that God has prescribed to come, and he says no man comes to the Father but by him. I'll tell you a little secret. I was in the Holy Land when they were having a religious conclave, and who should be walking down the hall toward me with an entourage but the Dalai Lama. And I didn't know. Here I am, a minister from America visiting, and I just stuck out my hand and shook hands with him and said, "Sir, has anyone ever explained to you who Jesus Christ really is? If they haven't, I'd be glad to spend an hour with you and just to share with you the truth about him." And his aide, of course, brushed me off and told me that he was busy, he didn't have time. But that was just an involuntary response to a man who is very religious and very pious and very probably very sincere, but he doesn't know the truth of the way to God. And I think we Christians have to be ready at any moment to share that truth with them.
Well, Tim LaHaye, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been my privilege. God bless you.
Tim LaHaye is co-author of the Left Behind novels. The 12th and final novel in the series, The Glorious Appearing, will be published at the end of the month.